the emergence of new contenders, the changing of the guard in one of Nevada's best rivalry games, and perhaps extending a national championship streak. There was all kinds of activity going on in week six of local high school football, which means all kinds of activity for us here on Prep Sports Now to talk about. I'm Case Kiefer, joined as always by Ray Brewer. We're brought to you by Wingstop, the wing experts, open at 8 Las Vegas locations until midnight. Wingstop, what is your flavor? Brewer, what's your flavor out of week six? I mean, I feel like we've been spoiled this year. A lot of good storylines, good games, some surprises, some teams we expected to be great. But what stands out to you most of all?
You know, I think just, you know, Gorman's win over a top Florida school on ESPNU, triple overtime. They were literally one play away from losing, haven't lost in 40-plus games. And it's 4th and 8 or 9, you're there, touchdown, right?
Unbelievable touchdown, too. Yeah, and one of the best plays you'll see, and I feel like that's the play that's being discussed, like, maybe not even in the top five with all the crazy stuff that happened in this game.
Then you get a blocked field goal when, you know, you were one kick away from losing, and then to win on a two-point conversion when they were lined up to kick the extra point. The other team called timeout, and then Gorman decides to go for two.
Immediately, too. I remember seeing Tate Martell running up to Kenny Sanchez, and I said, I asked Coach Sanchez right afterwards, you know, was it right after that play you decided you're going for two? And he said, yeah, why not? So I love that mentality. I loved the aggressiveness. And, I mean, Ollie Walsh with the 1.5-yard run to ensure the 25-24 victory over St. Thomas Aquinas was another impressive play, just because he got hit a yard before the end zone but made sure to fall forward. And what was really a game where he was kind of bottled up comes through with the winning points at the end.
Yeah, and he was bottled up on a lot of those shots up the middle that Gorman's been known for. I said 100 times on this show that power eye for the Gales and they could get it done, but last Friday they really weren't getting it done in that set. And for them to find a way to win, to pull one out of the hat, if you will, was phenomenal. Again, I got to watch on TV when I got back from my game, Liberty crushing Green Valley. You were there. Kenny Sanchez was very calm the whole time in overtime. And I don't know if he – do you kind of get the sense that once they got the overtime that they were dealing with house money a little bit?
I don't know about that. I mean, maybe because I will say that Aquinas' last drive was very impressive. It looked like they had a great shot to get into the end zone, but Gorman, just like they did all game, they made a play at the right time, got a tackle in the backfield to hold them to a field goal. So, you know, maybe you're a little bit relieved that you don't just lose in regulation, but God, I don't feel like there's any reason to be calm. It was such a crazy game, and I think you look at the game as a whole, and Gorman moved the ball better. I think that Gorman is a better team. I think if they played on a neutral field, Gorman would be the slight favorite. But from the second half on, I mean, Aquinas was moving the ball easier. Aquinas outscored them in the second half. They were down 3-0 at halftime. So I don't really see any reason why these should be calm going into overtime. And also, Aquinas' first overtime, I think they scored on the first play.
They did, yeah.
Gorman, it comes down to that 4th and 7 where Martell has to throw the ball just perfectly to Naylor for the touchdown. So, I mean, it really seemed like the other way around. Not that it seemed like Aquinas had Gorman on their toes for the last half and overtime.
Yeah, Gorman shut out in the first half, something you rarely see.
They had three.
Oh, they had three, yeah. Yeah. I mean, touchdown-wise.
Yeah.
Back-and-forth game, the end result, as we wrote about, was, you know, they had this, you know, it seems like every year they turn the schedule up a little to another level. So this year they go Texas, into L.A., beat the Hawaii State champs, two Florida schools, all these teams nationally ranked. You've done what you've had to do in the five games, and the general feeling was that if they won last week, they'd be the national champions again. Of course, if they went out, so they'd have to, you know, beat Arborview to win the region, likely get a date with Liberty in the state championship game. So obviously it's mythical. Obviously you have to wait for the votes to come in, but the general consensus is that Gorman's done enough to win a championship, especially going to L.A. and to Texas.
Yeah, and I think that you can't really argue with that, looking at the schedule and just looking at the talent on this Aquinas team. I mean, I guess Aquinas' only loss shouldn't have really been a loss. They got a play called that wasn't a touchdown at the one. Only loss going into this game. So I really think this was a good chance that these were the two best teams in the nation, and Gorman prevailed. I mean, they had to pull out everything to do it. Defensively, they really shut them down, despite they had a, you know, Florida committed quarterback and a kid going to Ohio State at receiver, Trayvon Grimes, who ended up getting hurt. But, I mean, just an incredible effort from Gorman, one of the best high school games I think you could ever ask for. Bubba Bolden, of course, just made some ridiculous plays, including the field goal block, two interceptions. And the other kid I know we've talked about on this podcast before, too, but just two of the best high school defensive players I've ever seen, I think, are Bubba Bolden and Palay Gayoteote. Probably said his name wrong, but oh my God. I mean, I know you've hyped this kid, but I don't even think I was prepared for how good he is. He made just as many big plays, but I think he ends up getting outshadowed by Bolden.
If he had a common name like Sam Johnson, I'd mention him 83 times a podcast.
Yeah, and that's nothing against anyone else either. I mean, I've been singing Haskell Garrett's praises for 3 years going to Ohio State, but I thought that those two guys, Gayoteote and Bolden, were just unbelievable in this game.
And if you pull up the story you wrote, we have video of the block from Bolden where he got some serious air, showing that athleticism.
Yeah, I couldn't tell. I was right there, and I couldn't tell who blocked the field goal, and everyone had to let me know it was Bolden. And you look the replay, and you're like, well, how did you miss that? Like, he's leaping, like, unbelievable block. And
great game. Somebody texted me Saturday morning, and they were like, well, looks like you got your game of the year for the sports awards show. And I'm like, that'd be a good point. Probably do.
Yeah, that was.
I don't think we're going to get another game that's better than that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anything can top that. It was just so wild. Atmosphere is great. Everything that you could want, I think, was in that game. And just the quality was so high.
Every game you go to there goes to overtime.
Yeah, this is the first game I'd been to at Gorman in 2 years. And the last one I went to was the crazy Bingham game where I think Gorman could have ran out the time but fumbled a snap. So I've seen all kinds of wild stuff there, whereas it seems like every Gorman game you cover, which is significantly more, but it seems like they're all blowouts.
Yeah, I'm the blowout guy. So I was at Liberty Green Valley. Green Valley at Liberty, not that it matters. Green Valley won by running clock. I mean, I'm sorry, Green Valley won by running clock.
They wish.
Liberty won by running clock. We got to tape this, like, in the afternoon. Yeah, you ever see those five-hour energy
commercials? We are in the afternoon.
No, like, earlier. I'm, like, yawning here. I need coffee or a Red Bull or something.
Yeah.
But Liberty, Oblad, 6 touchdown passes, running clock in the first half, as good as advertised. For me, it was a statement that Liberty made, because Green Valley, and I may be wrong, but to me Green Valley is still the second best team in the region, and for Liberty to come out and just thoroughly beat them like they did, to me screams that, you know, Liberty's taken that next step where, you know, they've gone and played the national teams and they've come back and they're still crisp and they're able to do some things. Oblad, Dudeau, Oblad, Tapal, Oblad, Acevedo, Dado, my bad. They were just doing what they wanted to in the passing game, and definitely got the W. Green Valley, though, CK, kept it close early. It was three and out. Had some energy, had some fire. My quarterback was something like 20 for 24 for the Gators.
Really?
Yeah. He had a good game.
I must have seen this wrong. I thought they were getting blown out pretty much right away.
No. It was back early. It was back and forth, okay. Liberty's up 7-0. They have like a 4th down and 25 or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Oblad throws up a Hail Mary, and Dado jumped over some kid and caught it for a touchdown, 14-0. if Green Valley knocks that ball down, they get the ball like at the 35, and maybe it's a different score. So that one play was a big play. A few interesting notes in the game. First, so we know Liberty Case has got their big three receivers, right?
Of course.
But they don't have a big play running back.
De La Cruz has been pretty solid, though.
He's been solid, but do you worry at all? And you've seen Liberty. You saw him against Arbor, right? Do you worry that Liberty's Achilles heel could be lacking no running game? Because with the pass, when you get into the winter months, especially in Vegas, into the fall months or whatever, it's a little windy. Do you worry about the pass on, like, a Saturday afternoon, maybe at Sam Boyd Stadium against Gorman? Do you need to run the ball?
Maybe if the problem was if I saw the problem as pronounced as you do, which I don't. I think their running game's been fine.
Or do you think
– I don't think it's been, like, super explosive, like they're going to break one off for 80 yards every game. But I feel like if you – from what I've seen of their running game, at least against these teams, if you give De La Cruz and rotate whoever else you put in there, I think they're going to get, like, 4 or 5 yards a carry, which I think is good enough.
And that's not a knock to the kid or to the running game. I mean, when you're passing the ball is – as successfully as Liberty has been, why do you need to run the ball, right? I mean, if you're –
I would much rather have that caliber of passing game than a high-caliber running game. It's much harder to build, but if you have it, I think it's a much more of an asset.
Yeah, and I just – you know me, I'm all about balance and running the rock and killing the clock, and it is what it is. You know, what happens if you're having a bad day throwing the ball, if the wind – is at your, you know, at your face. But Liberty, like I said, super impressed how for the second straight year they just really took it to Green Valley. Both teams, you know, were emotional, were fired up. There's some love lost for sure. And we survive in advance.
Yep, so Liberty wins that game. Also in the Southeast, a little bit of an upset based on what we picked. Basic puts down Silverado. I know they're coming off of a loss, so we don't want to overreact to one, but they won by 10. They were down 17-7, 127-7. I like Basic just because you know you're going to get the points. Maybe the defense turned a corner, maybe it didn't, but I think that was a promising win. Foothill also shut down Coronado, which I know we've been bringing this up every week, and this is something you've stuck to. You're still sticking to Green Valley as the two, and I still just think either of these teams could possibly beat them.
Foothill can't score with Green Valley.
All right, well, Basic can score with anyone.
The outcome to me was because I'd seen Basic and I'd seen Silverado, and I said the one problem with Silverado is that they can't throw the rock. They could run the ball. When they got to throw, they can't do it. And if you look, they switch quarterbacks mid-game. Shout out to Basic. They got it done. They were more physical, if you will. Did you get that reference? In the picks, I said Silverado's too physical, and all the kids from Basic were like, bro, we're more blah, blah, blah. Anyways.
Gotcha.
Basic, I mean, golly, every year, man, I pick against them for some reason, and they win. And they score with I've said this 1,000 times, they're going to score with the best teams in town. But to shut down Silverado in the second half defensively, great victory for the Wolfpack. Hell yeah. And now, this is a must-win Friday night. 0-1 Silverado against 0-1 Green Valley. You don't want to drop two.
I mean, you can't be worried because you claim that the Gators are going to beat every team by 21 or more. That's not Liberty. So they're going to put that to the test this week. I can say right now I would be taking Silverado plus 21.
Again, I misevaluated Silverado before the season. I got some teams right. Shadow, for example. I missed the boat on Moapa. Sunrise has been a head-scratcher, right?
Right.
I guess you could say I missed the boat on Legacy.
I was going to try to seg us nicely into that. I think if there was a biggest game of the week that wasn't – that was all local teams, I think you have to go with Legacy's victory over Centennial – on Friday night. Legacy beat Centennial 27-20. Samuel Turner runs for, I believe, over 300 yards. Wingstop Player of the Week is going to get a $50 gift card, a story on LasVegasSun.com.
T-shirt.
certificate, all kinds of good stuff. Congratulations to Sam Turner. And this was just a mega win for Legacy, who thinks they could be the best team in the Northwest. But I feel like we just needed to see it because we've been fooled by them so many times. And now they've done it every week. I mean, they're sitting there undefeated. They have Faith Lutheran this week. It's never getting easier. Like we said last week in the Northwest, it's going to be game after game. Then they have Arbor the next week. But for right now, Legacy should be very happy with themselves because they put down Centennial. I think we talked about last week, I thought they had a real chance in this game. And turns out they had more than a chance. They were the better team.
Yeah, so the kid Sam Turner goes 33 carries, 305 yards, 2 touchdowns. The Roberto Valenzuela kid at quarterback, I think having somebody who's a capable thrower allows Legacy to do some things in the run game because you got to stay honest to the pass. And from what I understand, Legacy's got a ton of kids that could run the rock, baby. And we've seen it this year with Sam Turner, who last year rushed for about 500 yards because he was the Tiger Gislin kid's backup.
Right.
You're laughing because –
Legacy wants respect, and they can't even get any respect. As soon as we start talking about them, the window washer comes up next to us.
I think they're painting.
Okay, the painters.
They're painting the building, as we thought.
We can't even talk about Legacy without the building getting painted and the guy yelling about, yelling in Spanish something. Anyway, back to Legacy. Sorry, Longhorns. It's just that type of season.
Yeah, but to go over that, who would have thunk that at the beginning of the year? I don't even think I had Legacy making the playoffs, CK.
I don't think you did either, and I doubt that I would have. And they've been...
But they got kids like Whitehead and Foster in the backfield, too.
Who are only getting like 5 carries a game or something behind Turner, and they're still, you know, have a lot of talent.
And the Turner kid had a 91-yard touchdown called back. So he would have been...
396?
Yeah. Called back on a hold. So if you know, and here's the thing about Legacy that is always the case, that they got some kids who have some swagger and who think they're going to win every night. Now, some years they don't win. Some years they start winning, and we see, like, was it 2009? They made it to the championship game.
They won the Northwest that year.
They won the Northwest. They beat Palo at home 7-0, and they lost to Gorman in Sanchez's first year in – was it the semis or the championship?
I thought Palo beat him in the rematch that year to knock him out of the playoffs.
Nah, I think Cimarron beat him in the rematch.
Okay, Cimarron.
Remember, you were at the overtime game?
I think that was the best game I had been to until this Gorman game. I think it's probably going to pass it.
Yeah, so shout out to Mr. Turner, Wingstop Player of the Week, 300 yards rushing, and the Longhorns for, you know, if you look at what they've done this year, soundly defeated – Coronado, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shut out Mojave. Soundly defeated Moapa.
Mojave
Valley.
Scored 6.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, but still.
Okay. Soundly defeated Moapa Valley. I mean, having a great season. Speaking of 300-yard rushers.
Blew out Palo Verde.
Blew out Palo. I mean, blew out Palo.
Yeah.
No question about it. You know, they rushed for, if you look at the stats on Max Preps for Legacy, right?
Uh-huh.
If you look, and this is how I judge a team that smacked the other team in the mouth, it's like 24 rushes, 340 yards, 46 rushes, 400 yards. You know, if you're just running the rock and dominating, when your 5 or 6 boys up front are pushing around the 5 or 6 boys, I mean, that's big time.
Yeah, for sure. So what you're saying, speaking of 300-yard rushers?
Our guy from Del Sol.
Tyreek Flowers? Or the other Flowers?
No, Tyreek.
Hopefully it was Tyreek. All
Tyreek.
Right.
He had 300 yards rushing against Boulder City in a win. And the McClinton kid, or what's the kid's last name?
From where?
Del Sol. It's like, shoot, I don't want to pull up the Del Sol roster.
All right. We'll get
he it. Goes for more than a hundo. And the Dragons, who didn't even start an upperclassman on offense, beat Boulder City. And that 5-team 3A CK has become a little fun little league because now you got who's the best team in the league. Virgin just won the hammer back, right?
Virgin's the favorite right now.
Shout out to them, 14-7 back and forth. Everything you want a rivalry game to be. The kids from Virgin Valley get it done. Very, very happy for those kids. They hadn't had the hammer in how many years? Been 8
10
years?
Maybe?
No, it hadn't been 10, but
2008. It was either 2006 or 2008. So it must have been 2008 then, 8 years.
So how cool it is to win that and to win it on your home field, right?
Yeah, absolutely, and I know they had been working forward towards this. The Del Sol running back's name is Titan Williams,
Titan
154
Williams. How
yards. There was a McClinton at one time on some team.
Yeah.
That may be long gone.
But shout out to the Jaden Perkins kid for Virgin Valley, man. How cool is that? Block punt, return it for a touchdown, to beat Moapa in one of the biggest games of your life, right?
For sure, and even one of the biggest games of the year that we look forward to every year in the regular season. I can't believe, though, you just ran down all those teams and how competitive the Sunrise is, and you didn't even mention your Chaparral Cowboys.
Bro, they're
still right in the middle of this. They could win this league. I wouldn't count them out yet.
Yeah, and they're undefeated in league. They got Boulder this week, right?
Right.
So that
and then Virgin next week, maybe?
Virgin next week. Or I'm not sure, but they gave the Wildcats a little bit of a scare, right?
Yeah, they played them really tough, right? And the best thing I've probably seen all week was what you retweeted, that catch from Devin Gaddy, I believe.
Oh.
How sick was that?
How come we can't get that on SportsCenter, bro?
That was pretty unbelievable.
That was unbelievable. I'm trying to pull it up right now on my phone to rewatch it, but reception in here is not giving to me anything.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy, and I think Schaff has kind of exceeded all expectations. I didn't think that coming off the best year they had in forever, they would be this good, but they certainly have been, and to go back to the schedule, they do have Boulder City Friday and then at Virgin Valley, which could very well decide the division.
Yeah, and I hate that that game's at Virgin Valley because not that I wish Virgin Valley to lose. However, I'm a Shap grad and very proud, but we saw when they went to Pahrump, right?
Yeah, it didn't go so well.
Yeah, now, granted, the Pahrump trip's a little harder than the Virgin one because that's a one road going up.
Is it further?
Prump, I mean, Virgin may be further in distance, but you're just hopping on the 15 and going. Prump, you've got to go like scenic route all over, stop and go. It's a rough trip.
I gotta do it someday, just so I can understand.
Prump?
Never been to Prump. I feel like that comes up every other week on this podcast, but I think I gotta go up there at some point.
So you're right, Virgin. Listen, I'm gonna make a dumb comment, and you correct me, but. Is Virgin Valley in the conversation now for the 3A? State championship.
In the conversation, I guess, if you have to have more than one team. I still think Desert Pines is the favorite running away.
Are they?
I know they didn't score much against Mojave.
How do you
but
only score 20 points against Mojave?
Well, they're banged up, and Mojave's been playing good defense. Has Mojave
How?
Given up
Let
more than
ask.
That all year? Doesn't feel like it.
Bro. There's no way in God's great earth that you only should. I mean,
okay, they gave up 54 to Sunrise Mountains. That answers that question.
Yeah, the week prior.
A week before.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, maybe there's a little bit of concern there, but I still think they're the favorite.
Okay, because you know who allegedly is back?
Who?
Lake Tahoe guy.
Okay. What's
on
he got to
a
say?
Roll, baby.
Well, you mean
Truckee?
Yeah,
they're back. According to everything out of the north where it's allegedly snowing.
Well, I guess I say favorite as in they're the Southern Nevada favorite.
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, the hammer rival, Desert Pines, has technically never beaten in this during this run the last couple of years.
Yeah.
They've given them their problems, so why couldn't that transfer to Virgin Valley?
I mean,
Valley?
I just
you could sell me on it.
Between Virgin, Shap, and still Moapa, because it's Moapa. I don't care. Name on the front of the jersey. I think any one of those teams could be in the Final Four.
Yeah,
right?
You could convince me of that for sure.
Okay.
It doesn't count as a hammer game, though, if it's in the playoffs, I don't think, right?
I don't think so. Not like the Henderson Bowl. They're not going to bring the Henderson Bowl trophy out.
Exactly.
Speaking of victories, Eldo.
Spanked Rancho.
Yeah,
Not even close.
Could I give my opinion real fast?
I don't know how we both picked Rancho.
I know.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so the week prior, so 2 weeks ago, my Green Valley Gators have more points against El Dorado than El Dorado has yards. That's tough to do.
That is tough to do. Okay. Also, the painting's done, so we should be unmolested there.
Painting or window cleaning, who knows? Okay. The next week, El Dorado plays Rancho. They win the game, 38-6 or whatever it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, El Dorado won a game in a five-team league. They're 1-0, tied for first technically in the league, right? You know what else they did by doing that?
I don't know where you're going with this.
They're getting enough points in this dumb old rubric thing that we're stuck to in Nevada to stay in the large school classification.
Oh,
there's
man.
No way.
The rubric rant. I've been waiting for it.
No.
It's got to come once
you
a year.
You got the Little Sisters of the Poor, Valley, El Dorado, and Rancho. No way in hell they should have to play Liberty and Gorman, right?
I don't disagree.
Enough money, not enough players, not enough time, no feeder program, nothing. There's no way they should be on the same field with those teams. Everybody agrees in the entire city, except the people who make the decisions. Realign football separately than all the other sports. You know, because that way you got Valley, El Dorado, Rancho all in the same league. Five teams, four-team league. Well, shucks, they're going to beat each other in every other sport, and they're all going to get enough points to stay up there, and nobody's going to have fun because it's not fun playing El Dorado for El Dorado or you. It's not fun playing Valley for you or Valley. Somebody's got to fix it, Case.
Unless they're playing each other, and then it's fair.
Let them play each other 10 times. Let them put Western in the mix. Why couldn't Western play Valley or El Dorado this year?
Or Rancho.
How do we miss that?
Or they play Rancho.
Why is Centennial playing Arborview on Friday instead of at the end of the year?
Well, that's kind of a whole another
right?
bag of things to open, but yeah.
And, I mean, at this rate, this is how – let me put it down. Let me simplify it one more time for you. Palo Verde, right? Great neighborhood, a lot of students, a ton of resources, not good right now in football. They may, Case, not win a game because they just lost to Faith. Congratulations to Faith, first 4A win. My guy, Elijah Cody, more than 100 yards receiving, three touchdowns.
God, and Palo Verde had them, too. That was my upset of the week, and
okay.
The Panthers had them.
Okay, so now – Palo's only chance to get a win in that league, because they've lost a legacy, is against
Cimarron. Has Palo ever not made the playoffs?
They've ever since Darden was there, they've made the playoffs. This will be the first time they don't make the playoffs. So when all this is said and done, El Dorado and Valley are going to have more points in the rubric than Palo, than Rich Palo, that has a ton of money that could beat you in every tennis, golf, volleyball sport, right? That has – dude, you see some of the scores from some of these games in, like, tennis or whatever, or golf. Like, Cheyenne plays Western in golf, and it's a double forfeit. How do you have a double forfeit?
I walked by the Gorman Bonanza soccer game, and it was, like, 9-0.
Bonanza no won that game 2-0.
Oh, someone was it JV or something?
Might have been JV.
On Friday, someone was up 9-0.
But these inner city schools, they don't have enough players to do the racket sports. They don't have enough. Western's got 22 kids in the program. They're all on the varsity team. You can't build your programs. Why not combine? Why don't we have a Northeast tennis team and they could go play Palo, right? Get one kid from Valley, one kid from El Dorado. Two kids from Rancho and a kid from Shap. And
isn't that create a problem where they are going to practice? How are you going to get them to and from practice and stuff?
Who cares? Practice once a week. I mean, they're double forfeits, and El Dorado's going to have more points than Palo?
All right, I just leave this to you because I am not a authority on the subject.
You
but
don't have a horse in the fight. I get it, but it's just – it's embarrassing. We're sitting here trying to – listen, if we say something negative – if I say something – because you're positive – I say something negative about one kid or one coach or one program or whatever, people are calling, oh, why are you doing this? Why are you staying? What am I supposed to say? Freaking El Dorado and Rancho were playing in football? Or El Dorado and Valley are playing in football? For the right to go play Liberty? Right?
I guess.
The winner gets to play. Get the hell of a prize.
You get to go to the playoffs.
Yeah, it's great now. You got that on your resume. playoff qualifier. Anyways, do we forget anybody?
Well, I think the team that came out, you're kind of defending El Dorado and Rancho there. I feel like the team that came out the worst of that rant was Palo Verde, who has no chance to win the rest of the year. I mean, we got to at least say they could have beaten Faith Lutheran. That was a pretty close game. Are we just totally writing them off when they play? Okay, they're going to lose to Arborview. But I know Centennial's a little down. They've lost two games now. Shadow Ridge is still an up-and-comer. Are we giving them no chance in either of those games?
No, they have a chance. Listen, they could beat Centennial. They could beat
Shadow. Could
Shadow
beat Cimarron.
And Cimarron and could make the playoffs and get to play Gorman first, which would be fun for everybody.
All right. Well,
I'm not saying that Paolo – it is what it is. Paolo hasn't won a game, right?
Yeah, no, I think that
– El Dorado has won a game. They're going to get into the playoffs. And in the rubric – I didn't create the rubric. I'm just telling you that El Dorado will have more points from football than Paolo. Now, Paolo will have more points in all the other sports.
Also, El Dorado may not have to play Liberty in the playoffs because they could get the three.
They could.
Someone's getting the three and someone's getting the four out of the El Dorado Rancho Valley sandwich.
Maybe we get that Green Valley Eldo game again. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Green Valley doesn't even make the playoffs.
I think Green Valley is making the playoffs.
Okay. All right. They got a kid that could go. Oh, by the way, could you pull up my Green Valley story real fast?
Okay.
God, this kid had a great catch in the end zone. I couldn't tell what number it was when it happened because Green Valley's got.
Better than Gaddy?
No, not better than Gaddy, but. My quarterback threw in a double coverage, and this kid had a beautiful catch.
Green Valley kid?
Yeah. It's in the story.
Okay. How far?
Probably last paragraph.
Austin Westlake? Oh.
No, that's the name of the team. That
well, that was the last the last paragraph in my defense. It was Logan Bedard.
Yeah, great catch. I asked Morocco a really dumb question after the game. I was like, hey, is this the best your defense has ever played this year? And he was like, we held a team in Texas to 14. I'm like, ooh, I forgot about that game. I felt dumb.
I bet, though. Probably not that terrible of a question. I'm sure.
It was terrible. He was a little aggravated because he was ejected. So,
I mean, yardage-wise, maybe they probably held Green Valley to even less. I think that the Westlake game, a couple times Westlake had some nice drives at Liberty just – you know, bolted down and made plays at the right time. I think they even got a fumble maybe inside the 10. So, I'm giving you a little bit of a pass. I think their defense could still be improving.
Yeah. But I wasn't like, Coach, could you talk about the passing game? That wasn't me. So,
who was that?
I don't know, somebody else.
Okay.
Go ahead. Picks. We went to the picks.
Sure, we'll get to the picks.
Game of the week.
Which I now don't have up because I was looking for your Green Valley. What's the game of the week? You tell me.
Canyon Vegas.
Okay, Canyon Vegas. Yeah, we haven't talked about that yet. We had kind of a 1 year off where this game, which is usually one of the best rivalries in town, didn't really live up to the hype because Canyon was down. Vegas killed them last year. I'm saying that without having the score in front of me. I'm just going off of memory. I'm pretty sure they beat them easily, right?
I'm sure they did.
This year, Canyon is back. They beat Basic a couple weeks ago. They've kind of had an up-and-down campaign so far, but they certainly are playing better defense. And Vegas' only loss was to Shadow Ridge.
Because of some drop passes, and then I guess they overlooked my Cowboys, or my Cowboys are better than I think.
Could I say I still think, like, in every game Vegas is playing two quarterbacks. Is it time to pick one?
Nah, I think they got their strategy.
I mean, wait, we're saying they've had trouble the last two games. They lost a game, and they've been up and down against Shap. My reports from the ground against Shap was that one of the quarterbacks was, I don't know which one to put it on here, but that the offense was clearly working way better with one quarterback.
Who's that from, Pauly D?
Yeah. Maybe you need to get – maybe it's time, you know. You've had half the season.
Either way, I think that with Brown, Daquan Brown, and Elijah Hicks, that the Kitty Cats have too much offense for Canyon.
Does it look like Brown played in this last game?
Well, that's probably why they suck.
That could be a concern. Elijah Hicks, though, 178 yards. He's awfully good. Looks like Zach Matlock was the quarterback that had a nice game. Threw a touchdown pass, ran for 87 yards. I don't know. I just like to see one of the kids kind of installed in there, and I'd feel more comfortable picking Vegas. But what am I saying? I'm going to pick Vegas anyway, though I would not be shocked if Canyon proves us wrong again with another upset. They've already done it a couple times this year.
I don't disagree with you. Las Vegas has been too inconsistent, but And I've been on the wrong side of them a few times already this year. But I think they get it done against Canyon in what I think is the game of the week.
Okay, so I've got Vegas. You've got Vegas. Let's jump to the team we just talked about, Canyon Springs, beating a couple weeks ago. Basic going to Coronado.
Yeah, you know, I think Basic is in a great spot now. They won one of those coin flip games. Remember, there's too many teams in the Southeast that are good and some teams that are going to get left out of the playoffs. So Basic is in a great spot right now. They go to 2-0 if they win this game. And Coronado just has a hard time moving the ball. If you look at the box score from the Foothill game, nothing moving at all.
22 touchdowns now from Aaron McAllister. We talk about him every week, but that's because he deserves it. Do you think is the defense figured something out at Basic, or was this just a half blip that they shut out Coronado?
You know, I think Basic had some key parts missing. When I watched them against Shap, and Shap put up 39 or 49 or whatever they put up that day. And it looks like Basic's got healthy at the right time, and great halftime adjustments. I mean, you're down by 10 at half, you know, overcome a double-digit deficit, hold them scoreless. Gritty performance, and I think the Wolves keep it going.
You got to have someone to score a touchdown, a quarterback to score a touchdown to save your life. Are you taking Aaron McAllister or Jamal Evans? Good question. See, you paused.
No, I was.
It's a good question, is it not?
No, I take Evans all day. We're talking a D1, 6'3", fast, athletic cannon of an arm against a great high school player in McAllister.
I was just trying to find an interesting way to pose this because I think they've both been the most prolific.
They've been great.
Jamal has 21 touchdowns. McAllister has 22.
And they've been great. Now, I tell you what.
A lot of your college is.
Centennial. Quarterback has been playing slightly better competition, though.
Okay, well, a lot of
that's fair.
A lot of yeah, but also I think it's kind of unfair to say that one kid's just only good against high school. A lot of your college, like recruiting potential and stuff, is based on potential. I don't know, I'm kind of fumbling my words here. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're the better player right now.
Okay,
I see. They've thrown for the same number of interceptions. McAllister has thrown for 115 more yards on 16 more attempts.
Yeah.
I think they've both just been unbelievable, and I don't think that one's too far ahead of the other.
No doubt. They've both been unbelievable, but the McAllister kid threw against Shap and Clark. That's a good point, Ray. Thank you, Case.
Well, I mean, Centennial.
That's a great point, Ray.
Centennial's thrown against Cimarron and. Okay, Cimarron's our one easy game. That's still one.
Yeah.
Cimarron, that's a chance to boost your stats if there ever was one, was it not?
I mean, possibly. I think there's no – this isn't even a cover. Don't waste your time. What next pick?
I think it's way closer than you're making it sound.
Right.
I think they're two of the 5 or 10 most valuable players this season. Also, this is Ray Brewer, Mr. All That Matters is Winning. Basics won more games, have they not? I rest my case. Next game, Silverado at Green Valley.
I mean, this is – I've been high on both teams at one point. This is kind of – the team that loses this is in some deep trouble. 0-2?
Yeah, it's going to be an uphill battle for sure, especially if it's Silverado because they still have to play Liberty.
I
actually think it's a little bit even more important for Silverado. Can't be 0-2 without playing Liberty.
I just think that Green Valley for me is still the creme of the creme behind Liberty.
If your scouting report holds to form, which I have no reason not to believe it, and all that Silverado could do is run the ball, I think that's going to be a big problem against CJ Arujo and Brock Hirschberger and all those big guys up front for Green Valley. I just feel like they are not an easy team to run on. They are able to throw the ball with your kid at quarterback.
Wailele.
Yeah, who I should just have saved that pronunciation guide from our friend that sent it to on Twitter, but I didn't, so I'm just not going to say it. I'm just going to say your quarterback kid. I'm going Green Valley, and I'm somewhat confident in this one.
Okay, I agree.
All right, Liberty at Foothill. You already said Foothill can't score. If you can't score against Liberty, you're in trouble because Liberty is going to put up some points. I think Oblad's going to throw it all over the field. Liberty in or out?
I agree. Morocco probably won't be coaching. He got ejected. You got to sit out a game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that could change the dynamic slightly. But I still think Liberty's got enough Jimmys and Joes to get it.
Can he not even go to the game?
I don't know the rules on that.
Okay.
Could he be in the box?
Yeah, or the stands or something? Or is he going to sit at home and play video games?
I don't know. I don't know how it works. I don't know what the rules are. I don't think he's going to be playing video games, though. I pray to God he doesn't have video games.
No, I say this. No, this is the one reason I said this is because you told me once, and I've never talked to Morocco about this. You have to let us know. You told me one time, this is probably a couple years ago. I don't know why I remember it, but you told me Morocco was huge into video games.
Maybe
he was. You were the one that told me that.
Maybe he is. Shoot.
And you just ripped the guy for being into it.
Real nice. The rumors.
All right. So I guess let us know, Liberty people. Is your coach a gamer?
He may be. Now I kind of remember us having that conversation.
I'm pretty sure he is. That's why I said that. All right. El Dorado at Valley. We're both on Liberty. What do you think about two of the teams you just went off on your diatribe about?
I mean, I have no clue in this game. I really don't. I can't even remember who I picked. Did I pick Valley?
You picked Valley.
Well, I might regret that later, but
I was actually pretty surprised by your pick. I think that it was great for Valley to get that win, but I think there might be a little bit more to get excited about El Dorado. You go back to the beginning of the season, we thought the Sun Devils might be okay. Maybe it just took a while to get up to the level where they could do some things. They beat Rancho 27-8, but probably could have been worse if they didn't make some mistakes. If they cut down on that, I think they're going to get by Valley somewhat easily. Who knows, though? But we're different on that one. I've got Eldo. You've got Valley. Next game, Cimarron Memorial at Shadow Ridge.
Shadow. Can't go against my guys.
I think this could be somewhat close. It's hard for me to pick a program that I'm not used to winning all these games easily, big. So I'm taking Shadow Ridge, but I think it's not going to be a blowout, as most people probably have it. All right. Stunning that this game is on the schedule and it's not the game of the week, but you've already given Las Vegas Canyon Springs that title. Any chance Arborview and Centennial turns out better?
You know, here's what I know about this game is that there's going to be a ton of people there. And probably the best attended game of the year, safe to say.
Maybe that Kahuku Gorman game, if that counts.
Well, I mean,
I got you. Yeah, that's fair.
Best attended game featuring local schools of the year. The battle for Canes, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
They still fight for Canes?
I don't know, but they did at one point.
Yeah, it was great.
You got the Greg Rogers factor, right?
Correct.
Greg Rogers leaves Centennial, goes over to Arborview. You got the fact that last year they played an epic playoff game.
Yes.
Okay. You got the fact that they're close to each other, so many of the kids have played up. Grew up playing high school together. I mean, Pop Warner.
It seems like they all know each other.
They all know each other. So I think that right there, it's like Army-Navy. It's going to be close regardless, right?
Yeah, and I have nothing to back this up or anything, but I kind of think the same way as you do. I just look at these two teams' name, and I don't care who's so much better than the other or who has what. I just feel like it's going to be close.
I agree. And I think this is one of the rare spots for Centennial to make amends for its up and down start. You win this game, and shoot, I don't care if you lost at the end of Desert Pines or struggled against Legacy. You win this game, you're back in the thick of things.
Yeah, and we just sang the praises, or more so you sang the praises, and I was just kind of trying to poke at you to give the McAllister kid some credit, but we both think that Jamal Evans is absolutely unbelievable. I think Greg Rogers is the biggest defensive force on the game, and it's going to be weird to see him in Arborview colors in this game, but I still think if you're saying if you want one offensive player that's going to be in this game, it's easily Jamal Evans, right? That's got to count for something.
Yeah. I mean,
a case can be made for Centennial, I guess, is what we're getting at. But Arborview's been so much better this year, especially on defense. I feel like Arborview has a little bit more. Just can't pick Centennial after we've already seen them lose three games. 2-3 versus Arborview, 4-1, of course, with the crazy Liberty game, their only loss. I got to go with the Aggies.
Totally agree.
All right, so neither of us picking Centennial.
No, I mean,
it's kind of,
if
it's
they
kind
were
of a new year.
Undefeated, we could have.
It feels like normally one of us is on Centennial, usually you, the last few years.
Yeah, you can't lose to Legacy and then be picked against a top five team.
Ouch, just hating on Legacy
I'm not hating on Legacy, but you know what I'm saying.
All right, Legacy at Faith.
You got to go Legacy now, right? I mean, listen, Faith has got a lot of good things going on, but the defense ain't one of them, buddy. You know, they were down 14-0 to Paolo, who struggled to score coming into the game.
Yeah, I agree. I've got Legacy in this game. I think it'll be...
run the rock and get out of the way.
Yeah, I mean, I think it could be somewhat competitive, but I think Legacy ultimately prevails by a couple touchdowns. Longhorns times two on that one. Sierra Vista at Bonanza.
Bonanza, shout out to them. Durango, 21-20, stop a two-point conversion last week against Bonanza. Bonanza was down 14-0, made things interesting, showing a little dog in the fight. With that said, Sierra Vista undefeated, hammered Spring Valley on Thursday Night Football. Brought out the whooping.
You picked Spring Valley.
I did.
They were inspired by you. I'm not picking against Sierra Vista here either, so both of us on Sierra Vista. Durango at Clark. As you said, Durango escaped again. I think 2 weeks ago they had a close game too. I think that's almost, and this kind of goes counterintuitive or totally different than what I would normally say, but I think it's even been even more impressive to me that Durango has stayed undefeated by winning a couple close games in a row, because it means that they aren't like so much talent-wise better than all these teams, but they're tough and they're finding ways to get it done. I think it could be another case of that here. I mean, Clark plays good defense. You know they're not going to quit. I think Clark could keep it close, but I just haven't seen anything yet that makes me think that Durango's not going to give everything till the end. I'm going to go Durango in another close game.
Yeah, if you kind of look at Clark, they only lost, I believe, 17-6 to Sierra Vista. They're not that far off. I think this game actually is a one-possession game, but I'm picking Durango.
All right, you picked it as a two-possession game. But
well, I mean,
I got you.
With kicking and everything.
Yeah, no, I've heard good things about Clark. And
yeah, they're not Clark awful. They're just,
yeah, they're not a walkover here. And like I said, Durango, close games the last 2 weeks, so it should be close again. Bishop Gorman at Spring Valley. Bishop Gorman's going to be kind of beat up and tired after last week, but I don't think that's going to matter. Sierra Vista blew out Spring Valley last week, and they're going to get blown out again.
Totally agree.
Okay. Rattlers and Warriors. Classic battle.
Yeah. Mojave held DP to 20. Surprised everybody named Ray Brewer.
I think it surprised everyone.
Okay, surprised everyone. Yeah. Listen, Mojave's going to win this game, and they're probably going to score more points than they've scored all year, but I don't know how it's going to happen because they're struggling to move the rock, baby.
Yeah, I think they'll come alive here. Mojave for me, too. Here's the weekly minute or 30 seconds I get to listen to you talk about driving up to Pahrump Valley and that traffic. They're hosting Sunrise Mountain.
Yeah, I mean, shoot. Sunrise Mountain, to me, is a team that could contend for a state title. Pahrump, to me, is a team that is in the next tier, but I just don't see – I mean, you know where Sunrise Mountain is. It's behind the Air Force Base, right?
I actually didn't know where it is. I've never been there. I think I know maybe, like, the general location.
Yeah, it's not an easy hike to get to.
It's behind Nellis?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That seems very far away.
Yeah. I mean, so you're not going to just somehow magically appear in Pahrump. Right, you're 2+ hours on the bus, and then you got to get off. And this is a Sunrise team that struggled against a lot of teams this year. I think they're comparable to Shep. I think Pahrump's a live dog. They get it done.
Sunrise Mountain lighting it up the last couple weeks, though. I think they're back on track with Claude Moore, Stephen Wright, all those kids. I am going Sunrise Mountain in this game. I feel pretty good about it. I think that the Pahrump home field will be cracked. So we're different on that one. Virgin Valley at Del Sol. We talked about how close this division was. Del Sol still has a chance, too. They need an upset here, though. Helps they don't have to go to Mesquite. Do you give them much of a chance?
I give, you know, the fact that Virgin's going to be hungover a little bit from beating Moapa, and the fact that Del Sol does run the rock pretty good, but you still got to go with the hot hand in Virgin Valley.
Yeah, I'm going Virgin Valley, but I would not be surprised if Del Sol keeps this one close. Boulder City at Chaparral. I think we're both going to be on Chaparral.
Correct.
Okay, Rancho at Moapa Valley. I'm picking Moapa Valley.
I am too.
Okay, speed rounding through these last couple because we're not going to be different on them. Cheyenne at Desert Pines. I don't think I'm looking too much into the Jaguars. 20-6 win or whatever it was against Mojave. 20-0.
Huge game for DP because they need to just start putting teams away.
But Cheyenne has shown some ability this year.
They have shown some ability. I think they've won three in a row, actually.
I think I picked Pahrump last week, and that was over by like 5 minutes into the game.
Yeah, I think DP's just on cruise control until the playoffs, but you know, you got to get sharp. You got to start clicking on offense.
Is this their toughest league game?
Mm.
Or you still say Sunrise?
Yeah, I'd still probably say Sunrise could do a little more. I think Sunrise is slightly more capable offensively.
Well, Sunrise might be in trouble of even missing the playoffs if they lose this week, like you said. That's going to be three losses.
Yeah, but it's a five-team league, right? And Western's not going to make it.
I thought it was six.
Oh, is it six?
Let's see here. They still got Desert Pines on the schedule and Cheyenne on the schedule. So, I mean, that's not easy. Yeah, it is six, but Mojave's the other team.
Yeah, so and they've already beat Mojave by 54.
Okay, so they're fine, but you don't want to be the four seed and have to take on the one in the first round, I don't think.
Well, the one's Virgin, though.
They've lost a Virgin.
Yeah, but it was close, right?
Okay, well, I still think it would be good for Sunrise to get a win here, get a little bit of an easier path.
Totally agree. All
right, that'll do it for this week of Prep Sports Now.
Send us your Player of the Week nominations.
Sam Turner this week. Man. Shout out to him. Let's find the next Sam Turner.
I will tell you the last 2 weeks, the first coach who sent me a note has got their player the award.
And it was well-deserved in both cases. So let us know. Thanks a lot for listening. Prep Sports Now.